So I've spent most of my life traveling in my own unique way.
Wow, mashallah. Oh my God, look at this.
Whenever I'm abroad, I found sighted folk to guide me.
Is it just three of us dancing?
No, we joined in with other people.
Oh, really?
In return, I've shown them into my blind world. You want to listen to this?
Like a motorway of bees.
That was Amar Latif, founder of travel company Travelize, on his new BBC programme, Travelling Blind. If you haven't caught the programme yet, then do catch it on BBC iPlayer. But I thought what I'd do is catch up with Amar to learn a bit more about him, about travelling, and about the programme itself. What's it all about? It's a bit of a travel show with a difference, would you say, Amar?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the Radio Times has described it as the most original travel show in years. So I was really pleased to find out about that. But it was a remarkable journey with the comedian Sarah Pascoe.
When we think about travelling, people think of the visuals. You go to see the sights, you go to see the mountains, the rivers, the jungles, etc. But that really doesn't come into play, or does it in a way?
When we travel, when most sighted people even travel, they focus too much on the sight and the visuals. And I think more important is all these other senses. And on this programme, what you see is you see like the comedian Sarah Pascoe, who's obviously very confident when she's, being funny on stage. But when she's travelling, she's quite a nervous traveller. And the idea of meeting people like strangers frightens her. And what's great about this programme, I guess, is she's my eyes and she does an absolutely wonderful job describing the place, because that's good for me. But in terms of when you're traveling as a blind person, you really need to interact with the environment around you. Because if you can't see, you know, the world is closed till you actually interact with it. And so traveling over the last 15 years, you know, set up Travelize, it's made me realize that there's actually a really cool way to travel. And, you know, in this program, you see me, share that with Sarah. You know, initially, she's very hesitant. She's quite risk averse. She doesn't want to climb up trees. She doesn't want to do anything like that. But then, you know, she begins to realize that actually she's missing out so much, as are sighted people. And I guess it's one of those situations where you've got, you know, somebody that's blind, like myself, showing how they can get even more out of travel.
Traveling blind is different. We don't snap pictures and then move on. Photos don't really work for us as souvenirs. It's meeting people that bring places to life. And our memories are made by a city's smells and sounds.
When I watched the programme, I cringed at the start a little, Amar, because Sarah seemed so like a fish out of water. She was crashing about at the beginning, getting her things ready. You seemed to be pretty organised. As, you know, being blind myself, I know what that is. Organisation for me when I go away is everything. Everything has a place. I know where everything is. I know what everything does. And it was interesting to see that change, because she just looked completely unconfident, sounded as if she wasn't looking forward to it. But by the end of it, she really was looking at it from a greater sensory experience, especially probably the bit I thought where she was with the bees and where she was sitting on the mountainside with just the silence to listen to.
Absolutely. Thing about the bees, you know, we had to climb up this tree and it looked a bit dodgy, according to Sarah, and I guess my friends have said it did look dodgy, but she didn't want to go up. So I went up there and, you know, it was just the incredible buzz of the bees. And when Sarah did come up and she put her head in the hive, we were kind of both transported to the world of the bees. So there was 40,000 bees. If you imagine, it's like a picture frame and you lift the lid and there's all these bees buzzing around. It's their world in there. It was such an amazing, moving moment where you can actually, where the sound is just so incredible that it just overtakes your senses. And yeah, we went up into the mountains and no man-made sounds. And then we sat around the campfire, you know, with strangers singing Turkish songs, and we didn't know any Turkish. It was just like, it was absolutely amazing. And she wouldn't normally take part in all this, but by involving herself in there. You know, she said that it just gave her a far richer experience. And I think that's what people sometimes miss out on. But you're right, being blind, you got to be super organized, you know, because, you know, you need to position yourself, you know, your clothes and the wardrobe and stuff. And that's what I do. And yeah, Sarah's very disorganized. She's got the luxury of being disorganized, hasn't she? It'd be great to be disorganized as a blind person.
Oh, I'd love it. What was also interesting, the contrast to that at the beginning, which really came across, was going through the busy bazaar with all the sights, the sounds, the smells. And some people would probably think that could be quite overwhelming.
So this was in Turkey, in Istanbul, and it's a huge market. It's got about 3,000 stalls, and there's sounds everywhere. Yes, we had our luggage, and yes, Sarah wanted to get to the hotel. But I was just like, you know, I've never been here before. I want to know what's happening. I wanted to chat with some of the people and see what they had to offer and touch things and smell things, because it's such an amazing experience. And it was quite hustly and bustly, and it was, you know, full of life.
With Travelize, you give blind and partially sighted people the chance to travel around the globe, not just your average let's go to the beach kind of holidays. You do all sorts, you know, something for everyone. But you mix in sighted people as well, and they act as companions. And is that an interesting mix at the beginning when you bring all these people together who perhaps haven't met each other before but are going to be touring together?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, at the start, we all meet at the airport, and obviously some people haven't done this before. They can be a little bit anxious, you know, whether you're blind or you're sighted. You're thinking, oh, am I doing the right thing? We've got a tour manager who meets everyone at the group. We give an introduction into how to guide to our sighted travellers. And then it's just like off to explore. And it's just like, you know, each day we swap the partners so that if you're sighted, you're going to be guiding a different blind person. And you very soon forget that someone's blind. It just becomes second nature, you know, to be guiding. And I don't know if you find this, Alan, but like, you know, a lot of sighted travelers, their number one fear is often that they're not going to be good with their words to describe. And I always just say, look, it's just like a conversation, you know, you just briefly tell people what's around. And if we as blind people want some more information, we just ask. And yes, we go all over. So, you know, we do some trips in the UK, but, you know, a lot of the trips are international, and places like Ghana in Africa, Peru or Cuba. And the funny thing is, when you're offering the group the opportunity to go skydiving in Cuba, only the blind people want to do it. None of the sighted folk want to do it. We salsa dance on the beaches, and we bring out the other sensory experiences on the trips as well. And, you know, we gain access to bits that the, you know, the main general public don't have access to. For example, when we're in China, we get to touch the terracotta warriors. You know, in Peru, they open up the glass cases and let us touch the 1,000-year-old Inca artifacts. And then we're cooking in traditional Tuscan farmhouses in Italy. You know, wine tasting in South Africa, elephant orphanages in Zambia. It's a real mixture.
A sensory explosion, not just for the visually impaired people, for the sighted people as well. And I suppose they're learning a great deal from that too. I mean, is there any reticence from, say, the blind or partially sighted travellers? Because, you know, some people may not be as confident at the beginning as, say, you or I would be, you know, throwing ourselves into everything.
Because we're pretty much world unique, many of the visually impaired people probably only travelled with their families if they have travelled before. So, you know, it takes a huge amount of trust and level of independence to actually come on these trips. It's your first time, there's a bit of anxiety there, you know, being guided by someone that you've not met before. But the tour manager is there, and the chances are on any one trip, you've got 80% of the people have travelled with us before. There's loads of people that come back. So it's almost like, you know, everyone supports each other. You know, you've got a group of people who don't know each other, but yet, you know, they come together and work together, and it really restores your faith in humanity. You know, when there's all these crazy things going on in the world, and when you come and experience it, it's just fantastic.
Are you ever hesitant yourself about doing something on a tour? I ask that because I know this probably wasn't hesitation. I was waiting on you on the programme to take part in the oil wrestling at any moment.
Yeah, well,
and Sarah running away.
Yeah, Sarah was quite determined to get me involved with these big, massive, hairy, burly oil wrestlers. if you imagine, like, they're really big, chunky guys, because I did actually, you know, get to feel one, because otherwise, you know, if you're blind and someone tells you there's an oil wrestler, it doesn't really mean much. So, so they're naked in the top half, and then the bottom half, they're wearing these three-quarter-length pants. And it's just so hilarious, because the competition is they've got to get their partner on their back. And Sarah was just describing that they're trying to slide their hands into each other's pants, and we thought, what the hell are they doing? And it was just because, like, they've got little hooks inside their trousers, and that's where they grab and you know, flip people over. But yeah, she was really determined to get me involved. I wouldn't get involved in that. And then, and I sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get frightened about, you know, when someone says, here, you know, do you want to touch and feel this stingray? And I'm like, no, because it sounds quite scary. And I was in Florida, actually, in one of the theme parks. And I met this, like, nine-year-old boy. And he said, mister, they just look like floppy pasta. Give me your hand and I'll let you touch it. And then I sort of did it then. But, yeah, those kind of things sometimes can frighten me.
I've had that sometimes. You've been somewhere and it's like, you know, let's run down this slope. But I'm thinking to myself, OK, how steep is it? Are there slippy elements to it? When I get to the bottom, does it level out quickly? There's all sorts of things that go through your head, and sometimes I battle with that, with the whole, yeah, I want to do it now. And it's like, but should I be worried? And then it's a bit of a mental battle to do things sometimes.
I know, and I don't know about you, but I've always gone for the risky option. I'll ask the questions and clarify, and because I find that you get so much done in life if you take that extra bit of risk and do things, because as a blind person, you get cut off otherwise. And, you know, people say, how do you trust your person that you're with? And how come you're climbing that tree? And why are you doing this? And why are you going jet skiing and sitting at the front of the jet ski? Why do you go skiing down black runs when you can't see? I'm thinking, well, my life wouldn't be that interesting otherwise. And by taking a little bit of the risk, it just makes, it just gives you a far more richer experience, and I've loved that. You know, it's better to maybe sometimes get hurt, you know, and, you know, try something than not try something at all and just live a boring life.
See, I'm probably one of those people, when I go on holiday with my wife, if we're going places where there's maybe activities or tours or there's things to do, I'm at the front of the queue. I'm saying, yeah, I'll do it. And she's saying, no, you can't, no, no. But sometimes it's because she wouldn't do it herself, rather than worried about me doing it. She's always one telling me no, no, and I'm the one saying, yes, yes, I'll have a go, I'll try it. Even down to food, you know, I'll be like, yeah, let me try that. It's what? Oh, I'll try it anyway. Let's see what it's like.
Exactly. You being, you know, forging forward, you're actually probably really helping your wife to have some better experiences, and that's what Travelize can be like, you know, with our VIs, like wanting to try experiences and do things. Because, you know, it just makes life so much more exciting. And then what you find is that sighted people suddenly find themselves out of their comfort zone. And, you know, great things are created from stepping outside your comfort zone. That's what Sarah found here. You know, she was like very much out of her comfort zone. She was fish out of water. She even called me like a five-year-old child. Thanks, Sarah.
But it's like you said, Amar, you know, it's the blind people that want to throw themselves out of the plane. The sighted people will see what's there and go, no way.
Yeah, and I think it really helps sighted people, you know. So although it's called Travelling Blind, the programme, it's questionable, like, who's actually travelling blind, I suppose, in the programme and in life in general.
It's almost like the sighted person with you is blind to a lot of the experiences.
Absolutely.
Amar, we've watched the first episode of Travelling Blind. Will there be more?
BBC Two are currently deciding about the option to make it into a series. So, you know, I'll find out very shortly over the next few weeks whether, you know, they'd be interested in a series. And if it was a series, we'd be looking at, you know, different people coming on the trip as my victims. Oh, sorry, companions, yes. We'll call them companions until they sign up.
They're sensory blank canvases for you to paint on, Amar. That's what it
is. I like that. That's beautiful.
Amar, we're almost out of time. If people would like to learn more about Travelize, what's the best way to do that?
Okay, so our website is Travelize. That's travel and then EYES-international.com. And you've got all of our tours there. We offer 70 tours to all parts of the world, and there's lots of, like, YouTube videos as well, and you can feel free to call us as well. So the number's 0113 834 6094. We look forward to hearing from you.
And thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio Hour.
It's a pleasure.
It's blindness that makes me travel, and it's blindness that keeps me seeing the world.